Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We're excited for you to hear this message, and we hope it blesses your life.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Bo, and I want to welcome you to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. I hope that you've had an awesome time of worship this morning already. Heather and I are actually in Oregon. She's chasing her dream to qualify for Boston, so she's running a marathon right now as we speak, so pray for her. But I wanted to come and introduce our speaker for today. He's a great friend of mine. I've known Josh for many years. We actually met at a ranch rodeo. It wasn't a ranch rodeo. It was actually a rodeo in Blanchard, and the rest is history. He pastors a great church, Victory Fellowship, in Rush Springs, Oklahoma, and he actually serves on our board of elders here at Thousand Hills. And so I hope that you will listen attentively. He's going to do part four of the Why Me, Lord series, and I'm looking forward to hearing it when I get back. So give my buddy Josh a welcome and clap together as he comes.
Like Bo said, we go way, way back, and that day that he talked about at that rodeo in Blanchard was the day that changed my life for many years to come. That obedience of Bo to follow Christ and speak truth is probably part of the reason why I'm in the position that I am today. I started out as a youth minister and served with Bo, and I've been here several times, and some of you I see familiar faces, some of it's new faces. But it's always a blessing for us to be able to come to Thousand Hills. And we're finishing up y'all's series, part four of Why Me, Lord? Why me? And today is Why Me? Why am I so blessed? And I want to give y'all guys something. I am blessed beyond measure today. Today, I'm excited, and it's been this way for a few years that we've come up here and spoke. Today, I've been married for 18 years. Wonderful years to my beautiful bride. Absolutely. And so I say I'm blessed. Why me, Lord? I don't deserve it. I was a knothead growing up and grew up with two brothers. My mom raised three boys, and we should have all probably killed each other by now, but we made it. And I got a beautiful wife. I got two daughters over here, Taylor and Jaden, and we brought our friend Caitlin with us. Last night, we got to the luxury of driving up here late last night. Another blessing is my daughter qualified for three different events for the state track meet, which is next weekend. That's exciting. And so this message is really special to me this morning as we get into preaching that. Another thing Bo that said on his deal that I said on the board with them, I want you guys to know my heart for Thousand Hills Church. I can remember the infant stage, the day that Bo told me that he was going to start a church, and the reasons why, and the things that God had put into his heart. And I remember praying with him diligently through that. And so we not only partner with you guys in prayer, even at our church at Victory Fellowship. Today, after the last service, they're taking up love offerings again this week to help with the fire relief, as I know y'all have been through tragedy in the last few weeks. And so we want to be a part of that. We want to partner with you guys to minister to your community because we care that much about Thousand Hills. It's such a special place to us and a special place in my heart. And so it's exciting again to be here, wrapping up the series, Why Me, Lord? Part one was storms are going to brew, but we don't have to stew. I am reiterating what I read off the website. I don't have a clue what that meant. I have a feeling it had something to do with Jonah, and so we'll stick with that. Number two, part two was storm season is just that. It's a season. As we drove up here last night, I did have the luxury of my headlights hitting enough of the side of the road that you guys just went through a tragic season up here with fires. But it's just a season. The grass is already turning green in some of those places. And it's amazing what sometimes the devil intends for bad, God always makes good. And so that was part two. Part three, sometimes our boat sinks because we're in the wrong boat. Amen. I've been in the wrong boat way too many times in my life. And I'm glad to be in the presence of God this morning. And so today we're wrapping it up with why me, Lord? Why am I so blessed? One of the places that I want to be this morning is in Exodus. As we look at this story, this great story of this great man named Moses. And for today, we might paraphrase him and call him Mo, however you want to think of him, because I think of this guy that he has this thing happen to him, this burning bush that out of the nowhere, this bush lights on fire and the Lord begins to speak to him. And he says, we all know the song. We grew up singing it. I believe it says it in Exodus chapter 10 is the song, "Hey, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, whoa, whoa, let my people go." Any of y'all ever sang that song? I used to love to sing that song, get into it. And so I think of that song, and here's Moses, this guy that has been given this task to go to Pharaoh, a king, and say, "Hey, I'm going to ask you to let all these slaves go, the one that's built your city, and you're going to let them go." And so that's where I kind of want us to catch up to today. Exodus chapter 10, God tells Moses, "I've hardened Pharaoh's heart." Now, I'm paraphrasing this to kind of get us up to speed to where we're going to be today. And then we go to Exodus chapter 13. In verse 17, and this is what it begins to say. When Pharaoh let the people go, because he does it, God's hardened his heart, and we get the whole "Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go," and it's one of the points where he's like, "All right, we'll try it without me." And when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. Though that was shorter, for God said, if they face the war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people, and this is a big word, around the desert road toward the Red Sea. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we feel like in our lives, we say, "Lord, how can you say that I'm blessed? You don't know what I've been through." I want to tell you this morning, if you're here sitting in these seats, you're blessed. You're blessed. If we live in America today, we're blessed. And I think we've lost that. We've lost that to a degree because we just think they owe it to us. This isn't the YMCA. We don't all get trophies. But isn't it true? We all feel like we deserve something. You owe me something. And I love this passage because we begin to see Moses taking these people around. And sometimes I do not understand why God sends me the long way around. And so my first point this morning that I want to give you is blessed for their best. Sometimes God uses you for other people's blessing to be the best because sometimes you know what's best for them. Moses knew what God had told him, and he took them around the city because had he not, and they faced war, these children of Israel faced the war, it says, Scripture says that they might have turned back and quit. How often do we get in a sticky situation and we give up? Chief Center right here. I like the smooth and easy road. I thought raising two girls was going to be a cupcake walk in the park. Hallelujah, it did not happen. Amen, I'm here to testify. Girls are not easy. They're emotional. And I drove at 11 o'clock last night with four of them in my car, singing Frozen. You name the song, we sang it. But I don't understand sometimes why God makes us go around the city. And sometimes God uses people. God uses you to be a blessing. God, why me? Why would you use me? Chief of all sinners, use me. And I see, I love that because I see Moses in this passage, that God is using this guy, a guy no different than you and I, a guy that has the same opportunities and privileges to hear from God. And he stands up and does something about it. He goes to Pharaoh. And then he begins to lead these people around a city. What platform has God put you on? We all have a circle. Some people, I don't care if you're 16 or 66 or older, it doesn't. We all have influence. Because sometimes God uses you to bless people to be their best. And so we see this. And then we see that what happens is Pharaoh's like, "Whoa. Hang on just a minute. I really needed those people. They were the hands and feet of this city. They're the ones that got things done." And it goes on to say in verse 18, it says, after he led them around the road to the Red Sea, and I'm skipping forward because I lost my spot, but we're across the Red Sea, and we go to chapter 14, and it says he took 600 of his best chariots along with other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord had hardened Pharaoh's heart. And so that all of a sudden, Pharaoh begins to pursue them, thinking, why are they leaving me? Who were marching out boldly. And I want to stop on that word boldly, because I think it's something that we're lacking as Christians today. I preached last week at my church just on this specific word. Isn't it crazy that California, if you think about this, California is the one state that sets the standard for all of the United States. You don't believe me? There's a reason you have to put DEF in your diesel trucks, because of California. There's a reason that when you go buy a new shower head, that it trickles water. But I'll tell you a trick. This is just extra. They ain't even paying for this. If you will take that shower head off, there's a little ball in there. You can pop it out, and you can say, take that, California. And it blows harder. I'm just saying it does. And something that we've seen, I don't know if you've seen the news, that California is trying to ban the Bible in America. Are you serious? In America, ban the Bible. Yeah, well, why not? Us Christians walk around with our head down all the time. And I think I love this, because the children of Israel have walked out of captivity and slavery, like some of us feel like we're in sometimes. Why me, Lord? Why am I so blessed? And they walked out boldly. Christians, be bold in your belief. You know why I believe today that we're not bold in our beliefs? Because we don't know what we believe. We know who God is. I know who my preacher says he is. I know who my Sunday school teacher says he is. I know who my mom and dad said he was, but I don't know him. Listen, if you want to be blessed, you got to know the Father. You got to know who he is and who you are through him. And it's something lacking today in our church. Church, they were bold because they knew who God was. This is his children. And so Moses, he's confident. We see that. He portrays it to these children of Israel. We see that Moses is the man. And I think that we always think to be a blessing, it has to be materialistic or money. We're blessed to be the best, and we're blessed to bless others. And we think, if I'm going to bless somebody, I have to bless them through materialism. You know, one of my greatest ministries, and I say this because I can only relate for myself, is one of my greatest ministries is I ain't got a lot of money. I'm a preacher, okay? I got two girls, and Jesus never wanted me to have a nickel. That's why he gave me two girls, I believe. They're expensive. We can't have one pair of shoes like boys. We got to have one for every outfit. But one of the things that I do in my ministry that I've learned that's been the biggest blessing for me and men, because I'm going to tell you right now, I love relationships. I love people. I love all of you, and I don't even know half of you. I just love people. And I've become this hog hunter. I'm the hog hunting preacher around our parts. Now, that don't get any more redneck than that. And so we load up all these dogs about every other night, and me and a bunch of different men pile in that pickup, and we go. And I've seen more people come to Christ through the cab of that pickup than I have even sitting in the church pew. God uses us to bless people to be their best. Moses, he's bold in what he believes. And I think so many times we think it has to be materialistic, but it doesn't. Sometimes God just wants to use you with the gifts that he's given you, because we all have them. Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says this. It says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. It does not say blessed is the man that has the biggest bank account, who gives the most at church. It's blessed is the man who hears the word of God and believes it and does something with it. How often do we hear the word of God? And how often do we walk into this place and we hear the word of God and we leave the same way we came in? Listen, it is the living word, the bread of life. And when we come to church and we come to those places where we open up the word, it gives us nourishment. We sit down and we eat. And what do we as Christians should do after we eat? We got to go exercise, put it into practice. And so what I'm telling you is God is wanting to use you to be a blessing. The word says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. My second point this morning, I'm a little nervous, I'm not going to lie. We got two services. I don't ever do that. I don't ever do those two services. So we've crossed the Red Sea, and we've seen God's provision bringing him to this point, and we see Moses' boldness, and then somehow, boom, we wind up in the desert. Now, go with me in the story. The children of Israel are fixing to start wandering for 40 years. We wind up in the desert, and so number two is we are blessed even in the bother. Can you imagine Moses comes to you and he tells you, hey, I want you guys, we're going to boldly walk out of captivity and slavery from the Egyptians. And when we walk out of this slavery, God's going to lead us to the promised land. Hey, this don't look like no promised land to me. We're in the desert. Moses, this isn't what I signed up for. And so I have to say that we're blessed in the bother. And how many of you maybe got a burden right now today? You got something that's just ailing you. I'm not talking just physically. What about emotionally or spiritually? We got things that bother us, and we call them burdens, don't we? But check this out. I really like this in Exodus chapter 16. We have this hanging up in our church, so it's obviously important to me. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2, it says, in the desert, the whole community began to grumble against Moses and Aaron. Do we ever grumble? Ain't no one here ever complains, do they? Again, I got three girls in my house. Ain't no grumbling. This morning, Dad, you ain't got no food. What are we going to eat? Grumbling. So here we see these children of Israel that's already seen so much provision. I mean, he's part of the Red Sea. They've walked through it. He's brought them so far. Now they're in the desert, and we see these children of Israel begin to grumble. And it says, the Israelites said to him, if we'd only just had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate food, and we wanted. But now you've brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. And the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down manna from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough just for that day. In the way, I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. And go back to verse 7 down here, and it says, in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that we should grumble against us? I think of that passage a little bit right there. And really, how many of us think, God, why do you let bad things happen to good people? God, are you serious? You let me go through that? Sometimes I wonder if he sits up there and goes, you kidding me? I sacrificed my kid on a cross. He was the best there was. And you want to say, why do you let bad things happen to good people? God, I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible every day, and you're letting bad things happen to me. Do we not grumble all the time? We see it as a burden, and God's saying, don't look at it as a burden. Change your perspective. It's a blessing. Verse 14. It says that when in the dew was gone, these thin flakes, so we got some holy like Kellogg's corn flakes like frost on the ground, and it appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, this is what's funny, what is that? Now, I'm hungry. Do you think I got my figure from eating Kellogg's corn flakes? No, ma'am. It's called fast food. I like to have it my way. Isn't that how we like to be? We like God to be. Hey, God, I want you to be a fast food God. I want to have it my way. And so we see these children of Israel, they begin to grumble. Oh, we're starving. We're hungry. We need something to eat. And God, you just ain't providing. Like you said, this is supposed to be a cakewalk. We should be in the promised land by now, drinking milk and honey, full and fat. And we see this burden. They see it as a burden, and God says, no, 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 no. See, what you call burden, I call blessing. You see, all you got to do is you take the manna, and if you put it in a bowl and you begin to grind it, it becomes bread. You see, what we see as a burden sometimes might be an opportunity because God wants you to work your burden to make it a blessing. This isn't just a have-it-your-way Christianity. We got to work sometimes. And so we see the manna, and they begin to work it, and guess what? They got holy tortillas now. I love some Mexican food. I'm just saying, if you know a good one in Woodward, hit me up. And so they took this manna and they began to grind it. You said burden, God said blessing. You said I'm poor, he said provision. Maybe today your burden, you need to rename it. Quit calling it a burden and proclaim it as a blessing. God's blessing me through the burden, because sometimes God brings us to trials and tribulations to take us to a test, to give us on the other side a testimony. Some of you are on the verge of a testimony, but you wanted to give up like the children of Israel because we're too busy complaining. Why me, Lord? Why bless me? Who am I to be blessed? Listen, we are blessed beyond measure. It's your perspective. God might just be giving us that trial to give us the testimony this morning. I told you earlier, my daughter qualified yesterday for the state track competition. Now, I can assure you that last July, waking up at 5:45 as a 15-year-old little girl, that was not a blessing. I'm 37 years old, and that was not a blessing. I'm not a morning person. And they begin to run in July, preparing for this season. And see, yesterday was a blessing. They got to see the provision of their hard work. Next week, when they get to stand at the state track meet, that's a blessing to see and qualify what happened for their hard work. And so I can't emphasize that point enough to you. What we sometimes see so often as a burden is just that. It's a blessing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Scripture tells us this. I'm not saying this because I am in need for you, for I have learned to be confident in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether we feed or hunger, whether we live with plenty or in want. Sometimes in our burden, we got to find contentment. Sometimes what we call a burden, we have to find a place of contentment. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not a very content person when I'm in those burdens. And so my point number three is this, is blessed because I know the boss. I think about Moses in this situation with the children of Israel, and they're complaining and they begin to get aggravated, and Jesus sends down manna and quail to provide and provision for them. Well, that ain't enough. And so they say, we're thirsty now. And God tells Moses to go over there and strike the rock. And if you can even imagine for Moses, this isn't what he signed up for. The plan was is to walk into Pharaoh boldly and say, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. These are God's children. Let them go. Okay. I hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now we're on a journey. Moses, stick your rod into the river, and it begins to part, and they walk across. Jesus, you didn't tell me on this journey that we're going to end up in the desert, in the wilderness. They do. They begin to complain. We need food. Okay, get them food. Begin to complain. We're thirsty. Well, Moses, go strike the rock. I have to imagine the contentment in that. Sometimes we just have to know that he knows best. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you with this. You maybe say, why me, Lord? Why me? Who am I? Why am I so blessed? I don't feel like I'm blessed. Majority of the time, I feel burdened, heavy laden, downtrodden. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what people said about me. You don't know the hardships that I've been through, the struggles that I'm going through today. Here's the one thing I want to give you to take hope in. You see, I know the boss. And when I know who the boss is, the one that knows it all, the one that sees things before me, I can be confident and content in that moment. Listen, there's power in that. Why do we not see some of the miracles that we see in the Bible today? Well, he says, listen, ye of little faith, you have not learned much. God tells us if we have the faith of a mustard seed, that's the smallest seed made in him, just that much we could move mountains. Church, come on. Today is the day. We got to know who the boss is. So this morning, you are blessed. And we need to rejoice in that. There's power to know that I am blessed by the one that created it all. The one that spoke light into existence, the creator of the heaven and the earth. The beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He's my provision and he is my provider. When I am hungry and in want, my God will provide for me. When I'm burdened and heavy laden, he's done went before me. And God tells me that I do not fight for victory. I fight from victory. The Greek word for that is I'm hupernikia. I'm more than a champion. You see, I can be a champion in life. But with Jesus, I'm more than a champion. What's that look like? I don't know. I won't know till the day I get to stand at the pearly gates. And I pray that my Lord tells me, job well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for realizing this whole time you were blessed because I created you in my image and I cared for you. Get in here to the gates of heaven. So I don't know what your situation is today. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter how bad it is, you're blessed. You're blessed because you are a child of God because he loves you. But here's the biggest blessing of the day. You want the greatest gift? Listen, I brought the greatest gift with me today. If I had a vial right here today that could cure cancer, and I said, hey, I'm going to give out free shots. Anyone that you know that could have cancer or anything, and I use that because I hate that disease. How many of us would not take that? We'd all run up here as fast as we possibly could. I'd be the most popular man in Woodward, America today. I got something even better. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You see, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today, it's like denying that vial of the stuff that can cure this thing that we think is the most incurable disease. Is Jesus cures it all. And he did it by a cross. He shed his blood on a cross that covered yours and my sins. The tricky part is this thing called free will that for some reason he gave us because we get the opportunity to choose him or not. Will we choose him today? Man, to know that my Lord knows the plans that he has made for me, that he goes ahead of me and wants nothing more than to bless me. I told you guys earlier, I have two girls. And I thought raising girls would be easy. And have they disappointed me? Absolutely. Have my girls given me trouble? Absolutely. But they're still my girls and I love them. And I always want them to come back home to dad. Jesus wants nothing more than that today. And it's real simple. To say, God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Why wouldn't we do that? Lord, I need you. And maybe for you this morning, you just haven't gravitated and grasped the whole concept that you are blessed. I don't care your situation, circumstance, whatever. If you know Jesus, you're blessed beyond measure. And we have to take strength in that. Church, we have to be bold in that and confident of what God has called us to. I want to pray with you guys for a moment. I'm going to ask you if you would just to bow your head and shut your eyes this morning. As we sit here, right here in this cell barn this morning, maybe that's just it. Maybe you have accepted Christ, but your perspective's been way off. You've seen the cup half empty. You are the negative Nelly. God wants to use you to bless others, but how can you use someone that's not even being positive for the kingdom? And so maybe this morning you say, God, today's the day that I'll put a stake in the ground. I'm changing the way I see things. God, I'm not going to spread that negativity out no more. God, today is the day that I am going to live for you and know what you have called me to do. God, today is the day that I know that I am blessed. And you called me to more than this. Hey, if that's you, proclaim it this morning.
Or maybe to the one that's never truly accepted him. The Bible says how we measure a man. If he has Jesus, do you have any fruit in your life? And maybe you need to do a self-examination right now. Do you know Jesus this morning as your personal Lord and Savior? Like I said, it's simple. Father, please forgive me. God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And this morning I confess you with my mouth. Jesus, I need you. Father, this morning I thank you for the opportunity to be at this place that is so close to my heart. God, getting to fill the shoes of one of my mentors. And so, God, I know this morning that I am blessed. That I don't deserve any of the blessings that I get, but it's the association that I have with the boss that I get to receive the blessings. God, this morning, may we know that. God, this morning, may we know that if we know who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God, we are blessed and we need to walk out of here with some confidence this morning. God, that it's more than confidence because we're Hooper Nike. And walk out of this place and be a blessing to someone so they may see you through us. Father, I thank you for sending your Son to die on a cross for a sinner like me. That I get to stand in this position today. God, married to my wife for 18 years and two beautiful daughters. And say, God, I am blessed. That I don't deserve it, but I am blessed. Father, we love you and we praise you. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Thousand Hills. We pray your life was changed by what you heard. If you've made a commitment today, contact us at 580-216-6427 or check out our website at thousandhillsranch.church where you can give your tithes. Thank you again and have a great week.